Welling was studying there not too long ago. Got to know the village very well, and it does feel a bit like a home away from home. So I was very gutted not to be able to be there tonight, but hopefully it will still be a blessed evening where we can look at God's word together. We just read before the last carol, Matthew chapter 1 and 2. And I suppose you would call this a classic Christmas time Bible passage. The birth of Jesus, the wise men bringing gifts. But I wonder if you spotted things that maybe you didn't expect as we read. Some strange things. Firstly, the king and all Jerusalem troubled by this one child. Why? The wise men traveling across lands to fall down and worship this child. Not to mention King Herod later on, which we didn't read, going to kill every baby boy in Jerusalem to try and destroy this child. And then listen to some of the carols we sing at Christmas time. O little town of Bethlehem, which you guys are not singing tonight. I'm going to put in a complaint to the Welling carol selector. But one line in that carol says, the hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. Again, in that one child, the hopes and fears of all the years. It's dramatic. And it doesn't quite fit with how we treat Christmas today. It's a different feeling today. So I want us to ask tonight, why does this child cause such a stir? What's the big deal? What are we missing today when we celebrate Christmas? What I do hope to do tonight is to try and connect the dots between that child born over 2,000 years ago on the other side of the world to us here in 2021. You guys there in Welling, we're in a COVID-ridden world, cold winter's evening likely in Welling, just as it is here in West London. And hopefully we can see the connection between what's going on in this story and what it has to do with you right now. And like I shared earlier, this is personal for me because I grew up going to church at Christmas time, hearing about the birth of Jesus, but I never quite understood what it had to do with me. For 23 years of my life, I didn't have any idea about what the birth of Jesus, what the life and death of Jesus had to do with me now. So be warned tonight, this will not be the Christmas message maybe that you were expecting to hear tonight. And the first thing I want to do as we begin is ask, why did this Christmas story happen? What's the point of it all? Why was this child born? Well, Matthew makes it clear in chapter 1. So if we read verse 22 and 23, for those of you that have your Bibles in front of you, this is what it says. All this took place, the birth of Jesus Christ, to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. So the prophet spoke this a long time ago, Matthew says, in the Old Testament, a promise that this baby, who we normally know as Jesus, will also be called Emmanuel. Now, why this second name? Why Emmanuel? Well, Matthew spells it out for us, just in case we miss it. He tells us what the name means. God with us. So this baby was born so that we might know God with us, so that you, where you are tonight, whether you're listening from home or whether you're in Welling Church, so that you might know God with you. Now, what can be bigger than that? If think for a second, if I was to offer you anything in this world, money, friends, success, relationships, house, holidays, you name it, what could compare to this? Knowing the maker of everything, God himself, with you personally tonight, not just generally, personally. Do you see why this is good news? Is it any wonder that the angel in Luke says, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Now, all of this begs a question. If all of this in Matthew chapter 1 took place so that we can know God with us, then that suggests that naturally, without this baby, God isn't with us. We don't know God with us. And that's what we're going to have to deal with first tonight. Before we get to the good news of Christmas, we have to first understand the bad news. Now, normally we want to avoid bad news, but here, the bad news is crucial, because until we understand that, this good news of Jesus coming into the world is not going to make sense. So firstly, let's start with the bad news, which is without Emmanuel, without this child born, God is not with us. Now, that might surprise you, because we automatically think that if God is there, he must be with me. Why not? I mean, I'm a great person. I'm a lovely person. Why wouldn't God want to be with me? We think that. Now, the people of Israel thought that, and they actually had more reason than us to think that way. They've got an impressive story, and their story is right before us in Matthew chapter 1, which Mostyn will thank me that I didn't ask him to read, because the first part of Matthew chapter 1 is full of name after name after name, some of which are very hard to pronounce. But in actual fact, it's a great summary of the Old Testament story, this list of names. And it tells us that the people of Israel, to whom Matthew was originally addressing, they've got an impressive story. Jesus came through them. They were a chosen nation. They had God's word given to them. They had the Ten Commandments. They had the temple, the only place where God was present in the world, especially present. So surely Israel, of all people, would have thought God was with them naturally. But here in chapter one, it's like Matthew is asking the question, are you sure? Matthew adds extra details in this lineage in the first part of Matthew chapter one. He mentions Babylon. Now, Babylon would have been a horrible memory for any Jewish person at that time. It was the lowest point in Israel's history. Babylon was an empire that came in and absolutely ransacked the city, destroyed Jerusalem, took the people away captive. And it would have just reminded the people at the time that Matthew was writing that Rome was currently oppressing them, was in control of them. And it's like Matthew's holding up evidence saying, look, without this baby born, God is not with us. And we see the evidence today. Take one look around at our world, and I'm sure we must come to the same conclusion. I mean, haven't you ever looked out at our world and thought, what a world in which we live? It's so beautiful in one sense, so many good things, but evil at every turn. You turn on the news, bad news, there's suffering, even COVID. And then death. I wonder if you've ever questioned why we die. We say it's natural, but it certainly doesn't feel like it, especially when it's a loved one or you're facing your own death. And then look at our daily lives. I think if you analyzed our lives as a fly on the wall, I think you would come to the conclusion that we're missing something. We're desperately clambering around, searching, buying this, working this many hours, trying this drug, trying to get this hit, this pleasure. And yet we can't seem to find what we're looking for, that there's this emptiness. And even those who reach the top, people like Jim Carrey, for example, he said this. He said, I think everybody should get rich and famous and do everything they ever dreamed of so they can see that it's not the answer. It's surely clear that there is a God-shaped hole inside all of us. God is not with us. In fact, the Bible perfectly describes it. We are without God and without hope. Now, I did warn that this was going to be bad news, but let me push it slightly further. It's not just that we're separated from God. It's that God stands against us. The Bible makes it very clear that he's a God who will judge. Now, I wonder if this message has shocked you tonight. It is our natural default to think that if God's there, he will be pleased. And I know this is probably not feeling very Christmassy at the moment, but this is so important to understand. So please just stay with me as I try to explain why. why is this the way it is? Why is God not with us as we are? Well, firstly, it wasn't always this way. In the beginning of the Bible, we do find God with us. That's the way it was meant to be. God was walking with Adam and Eve in the garden. There was no separation. That's where the story of humanity begins. But by chapter 3, something happens that changes everything. And it could be summarized like this. We, as a humanity, who were with God, walked away. We did it. We went against him. That's where the separation came. And we walked away because of something called sin. Now, sin is a word we don't like. Matthew refers to it in our chapter. It's what the angel says to Joseph. She will bear a son, talking of Jesus, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Sin. What is sin? Well, in summary, you could describe it as a rejection of God, a walking away from God. How does it play out? Well, a great description is looking at the Ten Commandments, which is given in the Old Testament. God tells us to love him, to love our neighbor as ourselves. Do not lie, do not steal. And we willingly break those good commandments. We are people that willingly, willfully reject God. And the message in Matthew 1 is that sin, as much as we love it, is something that we need to be saved from. That's why Jesus came. He will save his people from their sins, verse 21. Sin is pictured like this enemy that we're trapped under. We went to it thinking it was going to give us life, pleasure, fun, yet we end up miserable, empty, with death and hell waiting for us. In summary, sin has taken us away from God. And as long as we are with sin, God can't be with us. And how could he be? In the Bible, God is described as holy and pure, a God who cannot mix with evil. So this is the bad news we have to begin with. And me being the bearer of this bad news, it is not to make you feel terrible and ruin your Christmas. I'm not here as the Grinch. This bad news actually provides answers for us because it explains every problem you've ever faced, every anxiety, depression, fear, every letdown you've ever had, every addiction that you can't break free from, why you make those decisions that you know will only do you harm. And it also helps you see how amazing this Christmas message really is. Because if you don't see you're away from God in the first place, how will you see your need to be back with him? Why would this baby being born in a manger, being called Emmanuel, mean anything to you if you don't first see that you're away from God? So that's the bad news. And finally now, the good news of Christmas. What is the good news? Well, as we said at the beginning, this baby, this child, changes everything. Emmanuel, God with us, verse 23. Let's just look at that name Emmanuel and just 2 points on what that means. Emmanuel firstly tells us that Jesus is God. This baby born is God. It means that into this world that hates God, that has rejected God, he steps in. He bridges that gap. And the Bible says no one has ever seen God. But when you look at Jesus, you're looking at God. It's mind-blowing. I think even us as Christians, we lose the wonder of this, that God became a man, the Son of God. And the virgin birth was just the sign of it, but the rest of his life proved it. Even more, there was no one like Jesus. He's God, he's man, and he's not the God we expected. He's humble. We expected a God to come in and crush us and dictate us, but he came humbly. He loved like no one else. He was patient. He was known as the friend of sinners. He stopped a storm with a word. He raised dead people back to life. He opened the blind eyes of people that had never seen before. He never sinned. Imagine that he perfectly loved at all times. Jesus really is God. That's what Emmanuel tells us, firstly. But secondly, Emmanuel tells us that Jesus is God with us. We're brought into the picture with this name Emmanuel. It's not just that Jesus is God, it's that he's God with us. We're in the picture. And it means, firstly, yes, that Jesus literally lived among us. He was with us in that physical sense. That's amazing enough. But there's more than that. For the name Emmanuel to be really fulfilled, think about that. That name is suggesting a relationship. God with us, closeness, forever. Something had to happen for that to be fulfilled. And Matthew spells it out very clearly in verse 21, which we read earlier. Verse 21 again. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. There's a reason why Jesus is the first name we know him by. The name Jesus must come first, because it means God saves. And it tells us that before we can truly know God as Emmanuel, God with us, we have to be saved from our sin. Because our sin is what separated us from him in the first place. And that's what Jesus came to do. And how does Jesus save us from our sin? Well, simply, he takes our place as sinners so that we can be released from its grip. And our sins are given to Jesus. He takes everything that our sin deserves at the cross. So our sin deserves shame. Well, Jesus is put to shame. He's mocked, he's beaten, he's stripped naked, and he's dragged to a cross, the ultimate shame. Our sin deserves death. Well, Jesus is nailed to a cross and dies the death that I deserved as a sinner. And our sin deserves separation from God, as we've looked at tonight. Well, Jesus takes that too. It's why he cried out on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus is forsaken by God on that cross, the very opposite of Emmanuel, so that we can know Emmanuel for ourselves, God with us. This is how much God wants to be with us. This is what it took. He gave his son instead of us to a cross. And the amazing thing here is this is forever. This with that we're hearing in Emmanuel is a forever with. Jesus rose from the dead and ends Matthew's gospel by saying to his disciples, I will be with you always. Emmanuel, always. God with you, always. Not a coming and going. Not he loves me one day, he loves me not the next day. This is eternal life with God forever. Never to be separated. Not even death can separate. With Jesus, nothing can separate you from the love of God. This is what Jesus offers us, a savior from our sin, Emmanuel, forever. So as we close, I really hope the dots have been connected tonight. I hope you see why this birth matters more than anything in the world. And with what you've heard tonight, how can you go home the same? You can't sit on the fence with this message. It's all or nothing. I'll read a quote from C.S. Lewis on this. He says, you must make your choice. Either this man, Jesus, was and is the Son of God, or else a madman or something worse. And then he goes on to say, let us not come with any patronizing nonsense about his being a great human teacher. He has not left that open to us. He did not intend to. Put very plainly, by C.S. Lewis, if Jesus has not moved you deeply, you can guarantee that you've not seen him as he really is. And with this in mind, doesn't what we read in chapter 2 make sense now? Those dramatic responses to his birth. King Herod and all Jerusalem troubled, eventually wanting to kill him. Wise men traveling across lands to fall down and worship a baby, a child. But of course, if Jesus really is God, it makes perfect sense. And it confronts us tonight with an all or nothing question. Do you know God with you? Do you want to or not? It's one or the other, with God or not with God. And many, sadly, like Herod and all Jerusalem in our chapter, will be troubled and they will reject this offer because they don't want God. They want to rule instead, and they love their sin too much to give up. But there are some, maybe some of you tonight, maybe some of you tuning in from home, who, just like those wise men, see how amazing this all is, maybe even for the first time, and you're ready to make that journey to come and find Jesus for yourself. And if that is you tonight, I would urge you to come to him. Don't let this moment pass. Come to the Savior while he's near. Call on him to save you, just as you are, by the way, from where you are. He's the Savior. Just put your hands up and he will save you. Even now, give him your sin. Tell him it all. Repent and leave it all behind you. And trust him. Trust the Savior. Believe that he died for you. Believe that he rose for you. If you believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior, you will know Emmanuel. It's promised. God with you. It's a promise. You really can know it for yourself. The thing is, Jesus might not be here physically right now. He's in heaven, but he sends his Holy Spirit, another comforter, to be with us forever. And that means that Christians today actually know God with them. Not just theoretically, in experience. They feel it. They know it. They found his love. So God with us, Emmanuel, is not just a theoretical proposition. It's a personal encounter with God through Jesus. And that's what's on offer tonight to you. And that's why, as I close, verse 10 is such a fitting response. It says about the wise men, when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. I think that's such an amazing description of joy. Rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. It didn't just say they were joyful. It shows the extravagance of this, what Jesus brings. And that's what's on offer to you this Christmas. And I just want to close by asking, what will you do now that you know? And I'll hand over back to Mostyn.
Joseph, thank you very much indeed. That's a very, very clear, very helpful summary of the Christian message. Thank you.